Welcome to What the Bump, a birth story podcast. My name is Jen. I am a former labor and delivery nurse who stepped away from bedside nursing after having two babies of my own to become a full-time birth doula. This podcast is where you come to hear birth stories of all different kinds. I believe every birth story is unique. Every birth story deserves to be told and deserves to be heard. So this is a platform where we do just that. Anybody and everybody is welcome to come on the podcast to share their birth story, even if you think your birth was boring or not very interesting. There's always something that somebody else can learn from it. So through this, I hope that we learn and we grow together. Welcome to another episode of What the Bump. Today we have Anna coming back on the podcast to share her second birth story. Anna's first birth story is episode 99 of the podcast. So if anybody wants to go back, I think it's, you know, comes full circle when you listen to the first one as well. So go back and listen to episode 99 and then jump back to this podcast. But Anna, first off, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I have been married to my husband for, it'll be 8 years in like 2 weeks. And we have one daughter who's just about two, a little over two. And then our second daughter is right around 3 months. Jen was our doula for both waivers, which was so great. And we live in Charlotte. We've been here about 8 years. Enjoy running and cooking and painting and all sorts of things. And yeah, really excited to share my story.
Awesome. Well, also, I'm sure everybody can tell, but if you're listening to the podcast, you're going to be like, wow, she's been sick for like the past three episodes. And to you guys, it might sound like I've been sick for like 6 weeks because of how they're spaced out and when they air, but I'm recording them back to back. So I sound, you know, I have been sick for weeks though, honestly. But these recordings are back to back. So that's why. But okay. So let's start off, Anna, then before we dive into your second pregnancy birth story, give us a quick recap. I know I mentioned episode 99. People can go back and listen to the first one, but give us like a quick summary of that birth before we jump into the second one.
Yes. So spark notes for that. It was a super normal pregnancy, really, you know, had an easy go for the most part. Our daughter though decided she wanted to come out a little early. So that birth was very quick still on the scheme of things for first time birth, but my water broke exactly at 36 weeks, kind of in the middle of the night. I didn't know it. And then went into the hospital maybe around 2 p.m. the next day after confirming my water had broken. And she was born, I think around, I used to know these things, 8:45, 9:30, something like 7 hours later. And I had a first degree tear and she was in the NICU for 5 days. So overall, a great birth, and pretty fast again for a first time birth.
Unmedicated.
She was early. Yes. Unmedicated. I saw the OBs who I thought were great. And don't really have a ton of regrets about, not regrets, but a lot of things I would change about the birth itself, given, you know, the cards I was dealt with her timing. But yeah, it was great.
Awesome. Okay. So now tell us about your second pregnancy. Obviously, probably a little bit different. You're, at least for me, it was, you know, you're chasing around a toddler and it's different.
It's very different. So one piece of advice early on for moms is don't decide how many kids you're going to have within the first few weeks postpartum, because I remember saying to my sister, like within the first 6 weeks, probably postpartum with our first daughter's name is Eliza. Like, I don't know how you have more kids. I don't know if I could ever do this again. This is so hard. And then 12 months later, we were like, I think we want another one, you know, so it just gets better. But yeah, I think we started trying probably around that 13 month mark, 16 month mark, somewhere in there. And it was pretty quick, thankfully, to get, pregnant, conceiving. I think I knew within like 2 or 3 days after conceiving, which I know like you always probably think like this might be the time, but I had super intense like bloating and cramping, which I think might have been like the implantation or fertilization or whatever it was, like 2 days after we conceived. And it's like, this does not feel normal. And then I remember actually texting you, Jen, because it was like within the first 2 weeks. I didn't know if I was pregnant or not, but I had all these similar kind of symptoms where I just was really emotional, and I'm not that much of it. I mean, I'm emotional, but I don't cry very often. And we were sitting on the couch watching The Chosen, which is a great show for anyone that hasn't seen it. And I just was like, tears were just like coming out. I was bawling to a degree of just like the power of the show. Again, bloating and all that. And I think I just texted you like, I think I might be pregnant. Like, wait, what? And so anyways, the first trimester was similar to Eliza's, with, you know, the second one. Biggest difference is I was so tired. Like, I remember being tired with our first daughter, first birth, but I was just so tired. I think that's probably a combination of, one, and primarily having a toddler. I know you've mentioned that. I know other moms have mentioned that, but when you're chasing around another kid, I mean, there's no stopping. There's no just like sitting down and napping. You're going all the time. So I just felt like sick tired sometimes. Like, I would just be like, I feel like I'm gonna throw up because I'm so tired. And then secondly, I worked in a kind of career paid job with my first child, whereas the second I'm just, you know, mom, which is definitely work, just not paid. And I think the like sitting on the floor and playing, it just allowed for more, wow, I'm really tired, versus when I was working and on calls and on meetings, yeah, distraction, I could just kind of like power through it. So, yeah, so that's kind of the initial stuff with pregnancy. I won't go through every single detail, but yeah, things kind of like smelled like vomit here and there, the normal sorts of things. Definitely had morning sickness, which both pregnancies for me, it was worse at night. I don't remember the term for it, but I don't hear it that often, where you just have excess saliva.
What? Wait, I've never heard of this, I don't think.
Yeah, I'll send you the term afterwards. I've heard about it from other like podcasts, but with both pregnancies, I just like had this weird taste in my mouth, and I always feel like I had to spit. And so I'd get in this routine where I'd like go pee, wash my hands, and I'd spit in the sink. And it was just so weird. And I thought like at church or other things, these moms probably think I'm so, or other people think I'm so weird for like spitting in a sink, but it became so normal for me. I'd like spit on hikes, but just like spit everywhere. It was so weird.
Wait,
but
was that both pregnancies or just Emma?
Yes, both pregnancies.
Wow.
Yeah, super weird. Insomnia, and I think that's, oh, another not TMI thing, but I think I've heard a lot about constipation in pregnancy. Mine's the opposite, which I think is also normal. Like, I remember talking to my OB about that, but she's like, yeah, it's fine. But I poop like 3 times a day in pregnancy, which is super weird. But anyways, all that was like kind of symptoms. And in thinking about our birth this time, I'd say, so I'm also a doula for people that haven't heard, that kind of happened between the births. I work with Jen and her team, which has been an amazing gift. And through that, I'm learning more about birth. I didn't want to do all that much different, but I did want to see the midwives this time. I'm part of a practice that had midwives and OBs. So I stayed within the same practice, but decided to go with the midwives, mostly just because even though I had a great experience with the OB, you know, usually midwives are a little bit more advocating and supportive and empowering for you to have unmedicated births. The OBs were not against it, but I felt like the midwives were going to help make that happen.
Yeah, they're like unprompted. The experts.
Yes.
I always say that, like, OBs, can they do unmedicated birth? Of course they can. Some definitely, yeah, better than others. But, you know, midwives, like, the training is just different. They are really like the experts in low intervention, normal, unmedicated birth. And if you want, and it doesn't always have to be unmedicated, obviously, with a midwife, but if you just want like a low intervention, normal labor and birth, I believe a midwife is, you know, the expert in that. OBs can be too, but OBs also like kind of are trained to look for the red flags and to, you know, be the ones that step, yeah, in when things get out of that realm of normal. So yeah, I could not agree more. Midwives are the way, yeah, to go.
Yeah. And they were great. And if you're wherever you are in your area and are looking for midwives, just like talk to friends too, because I liked our practice, but I had so many people that had recommended these midwives specifically, apart from the fact that I was already seeing the OBs there. So I'd say it's more important to have people that agree with your philosophy for birth, even if you don't know every single midwife or get to see them, like if you can have people that say like, yeah, this is an awesome person, I would recommend them. Find the person, put in the legwork up front in the beginning of your pregnancy to find that team that, you know, you feel supported by. Even if it takes a few different visits to different places, I'd say it's definitely worth it to find, you know, the providers and the team that's going to help you get your birth that you're looking for. So
absolutely.
Yeah, rest of the pregnancy. So because our daughter was premature, they didn't really know why my water broke early. And there's only a couple reasons that they can say, like, process of elimination, basically. They can't say, like, this is why exactly your water broke, because I didn't have any, you know, preeclampsia. I didn't have any signs of anything wrong with my first pregnancy. So what that meant is that they wanted to rule out that my cervix was shortening. So one reason that your waters can rupture early is if your cervix is shortening in pregnancy. So I had to then go see maternal fetal medicine for my around my anatomy scan, like on either side of it, basically. And so I went in and they measured my cervix. And I think it has to be over 2.5 centimeters long. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And if it's shorter than that, then they would intervene or suggest to intervene with I think progesterone or a cerclage. Mm-hmm. And cerclage is just like a stitch in your cervix to basically like keep things close together and hold baby up. Yeah. And side note, my mom had a cerclage with me when I was a baby.
Oh, interesting.
But she had a bicornate uterus, so yes. Like the two sides. Yes. So not the same reason. But anyways, it would either be that, or if it's longer than that objective kind of like cutoff line, then I would have been fine. But I would have to go back like 6 weeks later to make sure that indeed my cervix was not shortening over time. So it wasn't a big deal, but I'd say that was kind of mentally the only thing that was sort of hanging over my head a little bit this pregnancy was, is my cervix shortening? Am I going to be told that, you know, my cervix is needing some intervention? And just the aura around MFM feels like something's wrong with you. And it's not. If you need to go to MFM, it's fine. But it's just kind of intimidating to go to this kind of specialized office where you have a little bit more attention. And, you know, I'm seeing the midwives, but that was like a separate, the doctors don't talk to the midwives really. Like the MFM has their own thing. And yeah, just felt a little bit intimidating, but thankfully my cervix wasn't shortening, which was great. And I kind of cleared the bar there. I had my anatomy scan there. We decided not to see or find out the gender. We did with our daughter, but the second one we decided to have a surprise, which was great. If you go that route, I would just like advise, tell every person that comes in the room, like, yeah, we're not finding out the gender, because it's so easy to let things slip.
Like the healthcare providers, slip. You mean like
yes,
the nurses,
yes,
doctor?
Sorry.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yes.
I knew what you meant, but.
Yeah, no, thanks for clarifying. Even I didn't know for sure that we're having a girl, but the anatomy scan, I like closed my eyes the whole time when they got down to kind of the genitals and that area. But they had a second person, like second tech come in at the MFM appointment. And basically they were like, hey, do you mind if she just kind of like trains on you and figures out if she can do the ultrasound? She's new, and just like run through the routine. I was like, yeah, that's fine. I support people wanting to get into birth work, you know? But she was like, I'm just looking at the belly. And so I was like, look at the belly. And then she went down, and I'm not an expert in ultrasound reading, but I was like, I think I just saw basically,
oh my God,
you know, labia and the tummy. But I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to tell myself that I didn't see anything, and it's probably just, you know, I'm not an expert.
Wait, so did you tell Ryan or no? You kept
no,
that. Okay,
I
good.
I didn't tell Ryan.
I assumed you didn't.
I don't want to ruin it for him. And again, I wasn't convinced, but I was like, I think that was just a call. And I was kind of frustrated that, you know, I saw that, and also that the tech was like, you know, I'm not going to see anything, but I should have just not looked. So anyways, that was a lot for the first 20 weeks, but overall it was a good pregnancy. Let's see. So I guess third trimester, Or I'll back up one sec. Overall, again, my pregnancy was very, very similar. I don't know if that's because we had a girl and another girl. I know people say that if it's very similar, it might be the same gender. But same kind of like timestamps of I like to run. I stopped running with both right around 16 weeks, just because of how I felt, not because of some, you know, information I read. But that was like clockwork, and that my body was like, nope, your pelvis hurts too much. You cannot do this anymore. So all power to the women that, you know, run all throughout their pregnancy.
It shocks me.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard, there's a woman, I forget her name, Michaela, maybe she, like at 38 weeks, ran like a sub 6 minute mile.
I think I saw that.
It's crazy.
I like literally couldn't even run it like 6 weeks, I think. Cause
yeah.
I mean, I just, yeah.
Even
it also just feels weird.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Like this is not going to be well. And then around like 22 weeks had, it wasn't, what is it called? SPD.
Yes.
It was just like some pelvic pain. I don't know what the correct diagnosis would be, but to the point where like I got out of bed and like couldn't walk normally. And I think it was just the relaxing coming into my body and loosening things up. But both pregnancies that happened then, which was kind of wild because I wasn't that big. It was just hormones, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll just fast forward to third trimester and how labor started.
Yes. Well, tell us right before you get to that, were you planning, like, I know you mentioned kind of like you went the midwife route. So I'm assuming you were planning another, I know the answer to this when I say I'm assuming, another like low intervention, you know, unmedicated hospital birth with the midwives. But also I know this too, you were definitely on edge. Like, is my baby going to come early? Is my baby not?
Yes.
You know, you had that like inside of you too.
Yes. Yeah. I was planning a hospital birth again with the midwives, low intervention. And I'd say my birth plan was probably like 90% the same as before. Only a few small differences. One being, I didn't want the IV, catheter. But pretty much everything else was the same. Had obviously my husband had the same amazing doula there.
Girl, you had a team of us, which we'll get to.
I know. I didn't want to reveal that yet, but yeah, we had a party there.
We did.
Yes, everything else was pretty much the same. I guess the only difference was that because my first labor was faster on the, you know, relative scale for first time birth, I knew like it's possible I could go fast. And even the midwife was like, hey, I would just suggest, you know, once you start feeling contractions, just come on in, which I took that with a grain of salt because, you know, it can take a long time to go through that first stage of labor.
I can't wait to like chime in and tell my side of this too.
I'm excited.
Okay. So how many weeks were you when you went into labor?
I'll hit like one thing in third trimester, which is just that kind of like looming over me date of 36 weeks was a little bit stressful. Like, am I going to go even earlier because no one knows why my water broke? And I thankfully didn't. I hit 36 weeks though. And now this was the like most pregnant I had ever been, which isn't that far along, right? But still mentally you're like, oh, here we go. Like, this is what women talk about when they talk about being super pregnant and waiting for their due date. And I didn't have that with my first estimated due date. I didn't have that with my first. And so every day kind of like leading up to that day of labor was, you know, still all power to the moms that go 42 weeks. I did not go that long. But mentally I started like getting that headspace. And I think I did a lot of prep with our first child in terms of education and reading and, you know, just had more time. Whereas this pregnancy I didn't have all the time. And I was okay with that. I at this point was like, you know what, my body's going to do what it's going to do when it needs to. But I also didn't like pound the red raspberry leaf tea or dates or curb walking. Cause at this point I was like, I want to hold this baby in. I do not want to get this baby out early.
Yes.
So we had sex at like 37 weeks, 37 and a half. And I, after that, had like, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 hours of regular contractions at night. And as soon as I started feeling them, I was like, Ryan, we need to go to bed. We need to like, just lie down because I knew like I need to rest up if labor's happening. And it was a false alarm, which was great. But I had had more Paxton Hicks and kind of like regular contractions this labor than I didn't have with our first, but I knew what that felt like. I was like, okay, these are contractions. It's been 2 years, but this is what they feel like. And I woke up the next morning, they were gone. So that was fine. But it was a little bit like, we both kind of looked at each other like, ooh, this might be happening. So when did I go into labor this time? I was 38 and six, I guess. I'll give the like actual labor, but 38 and six. And I went on a walk that morning. I had done some like a workout. Everything was normal. Nothing felt different. Except for on my walk, I was like, I feel a little bit lower baby dropping. But at that point, you know, when you're full term, any day or like any sort of feeling, sort of thinking like this could be the day, right?
Yeah.
But baby felt a little bit lower. And then I had some at dinner that night, like some sharp pain in my groin, which I had felt a few days earlier too, like around Thanksgiving. And it was surprising, but I was like, maybe that's baby's head compressing on stuff. I don't know, but it was like very sharp and very intense. And so in the back of my mind, I think I sort of knew this is happening maybe soon. And there's a mom intuition to that, I guess. I took like a last photo of my bump that night out of the shower, like looking down, not knowing, you know, it's going to start in 5 hours, but I just thought this is going to be gone soon. You know, I took a little video of our daughter playing in the playroom, you know, before her world changed that night before. And I even like rechecked my hospital bag because I thought, I don't know, but I just need to be prepared. So I went into labor exactly at 39 weeks this time. And the Lord's just really good. We were praying for a full-term baby, and it's almost like God winked at us. So full term is 37 weeks, but that's still like early
late preterm.
Yeah. And 39 is like technically full term, which is why when you get induced sometimes early, it's 39 weeks, because that's like technically that mark of like, all right, you have an entirely full term baby. So my contraction started like at midnight, 39 weeks. And I thought the Lord was just kind of like, here you go. Here's your prayer answered.
So did that wake you up, right? Like you were sleeping before?
Yeah. I was in bed and probably to like 10 or something, 9 or 10. And I started feeling that same like pressure that I'd felt right after like the 37 and a half week mark, which I thought, you know, this is middle of night. It could just be the same kind of false contractions. My body's getting ready. So I didn't do anything. I think I first felt the first one around midnight. And then like 30 minutes later, felt another one, still just stayed in bed. And at that point too, in pregnancy, you're like not sleeping super well anyways. So I'd been getting up to pee a lot the previous nights just because you're not sleeping great, or I wasn't. So I think it was around 2 a.m. when I was like, okay, these are still happening a little more regularly. Like it went from 30 minutes to maybe 15 minutes. And they were probably a minute and a half from the get-go, the contractions were. They weren't super intense, but they were notable. And so then from like two-ish to three-ish to, yeah, I started timing them, which I didn't want to time everyone, but I was like, I should probably get an idea of how far puppies were. I think looking back at my app, I almost deleted the data, but I was like, this could actually be labor. I was still in doubt. I was like, this, I don't know if this is labor or not. They were happening, I think, like every 8 to 11 minutes. So still not super frequent. And, you know, I've been to births. I've talked with moms. I'm like, okay, this is maybe early labor, maybe, but like not super intense. They're not nearly that 5 minute mark, you know, apart. And for both pregnancy, they want to stay home as long as possible. So it was 2:30. My husband got up to the bathroom, and in general, I didn't want to wake him up. I knew if we were having a baby, like we both wanted to get as much sleep as possible. But at that point, 2:30, it had been like every 8 minutes or so, a minute and a half. And I'm like sort of breathing in bed, and I turned to him and I said, hey, I think it might be happening. He's like, what's happening? It's like, I think I might be in labor. And he just was silent for a minute. He just said, processing. Okay. So he stayed in bed for a few, like probably two or three more contractions. I just wanted to rest as much as possible. And then by probably around 3 a.m., I was like, I don't think I can just lie here anymore. I need to get up and move. So at this point, 3 a.m., like, it's going to go pretty quickly.
Yes.
I'll feel that. So we got up and made some eggs. Eggs at 3 a.m. is fun. But Ryan was like, I'll make some food. We needed to schedule help with our daughter, Eliza, who's sleeping, kind of get things ready. And at that point, I got up and I had some bloody show or a little bit of pink mucus. And so that was finally when I was like, okay, I think this is actually labor mm-hmm. and not just kind of early false contractions, which is again, 3 a.m. So we're up eating eggs and I was fine sitting down, eating a plate of scrambled eggs. And I couldn't even finish the plate. Like I went from fine to, okay, this is actually getting difficult. Like I couldn't finish the whole plate. And I think I texted you around 3:20 maybe. And just cause I didn't want to call you yet. Again, I was still mentally with it. Didn't have to really, you know, concentrate a ton, but they were tough. And I just think I said like, hey, just so you know, I think I'm in labor. Like I'm having pretty regular contractions and a little bit of bloody tinge, but they're not that bad yet. And I'll call you when they escalate.
I don't even think I responded probably, did I?
You probably didn't. No, I don't
know. Yeah, I was probably still sleeping, which you know, in the night.
I would have called if I needed you. Absolutely. But at that point, a heads up if you were randomly up.
Because I think I woke up to your initial call. I don't think I saw the text till after.
Yeah. And we called my parents at 3:30. They live in Virginia. They're about 5 hours away. And the plan was whoever watched Eliza in the immediate term, my parents would then drive down
and really
hit the road in the morning, reasonable hour, like 6 a.m., not 3:30, but kind of help take care of her. They didn't come early just because I didn't know if I would go at 36 or 40 or whatever. And I say that just because I was still able to have a conversation on the phone at 3:30. I woke them up and I said, hey, it's time. I think I'm in labor. So we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. But again, they're like, how are you doing? It's like, I think I'm fine. I mean, I have to breathe, but I'm all right. And it was kind of like excitement still, 3:30. And then between 3:30 and 4, it just happened. but you know, I've been at Birds and I've seen moms, I've seen progression. I knew I could have gone quick, but I think I was in denial that it could have been going that quick. I back up didn't get any cervical checks prior to this, so I didn't have any idea of how many centimeters dilated or effacement or anything. I just wanted to go into labor when I would go into labor and not let that mentally get in my head. So I could have been 4 centimeters. I could have been 2 centimeters. I don't know. It didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I was kind of having to get on hands and knees a little bit and breathe. I went back to the bathroom and like changed, had to go poop. And as I was like on the toilet, Ryan was taking out the trash and stuff. I literally out loud was like, we need to go. We need to go. This is not okay. Like I felt like I needed to push basically. And so we called you at 4 maybe.
Yeah. It was like right at 4.
And Ryan called you and basically was like, hey, I think it's time. I think I had just gotten back from the bathroom and you reminded me of this. I'd love to hear your commentary, but I think you asked like, how are you doing? I was like, I feel like I'm holding my butt.
Oh my God. The minute you said that, I jumped out of my bed so fast. You should have seen me. I was like a rocket ship. I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't brush my hair. Cause I knew from your last birth, I was like, oh, when she goes, she's going to go fast. So you call me at 4. And the first thing I hear Anna freaking say is, I just feel like I'm holding something in my butt. And I was like, you're kidding. You're having a baby on the side of the road. My first thought was like, she's having a baby on the side of the road. Here we go. All right. Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, you know better. What do you mean you feel like you're holding something in your
I
butt?
I think you literally did say that. I think you're like, you know better.
I did. I said, you know better. Get in the car, dude.
I know. I just still was like,
I was out of my house easily in under a minute. Like legit, I was driving down the road in under a minute.
That's amazing. And I want you to fill in from here after I say this last thing, but we had someone come, like, doesn't really matter all the details, but like the people that we had, our next door neighbors didn't answer their phone. They were supposed to come and it's okay that they didn't, but we had a neighbor down the road who came, which was great. And so we're just waiting for her name's Elizabeth to arrive. Thankfully, she is a PA, so she had her phone on and she was on call that week, which was, you know, another kind of answer to prayer. But we were sort of waiting for her to get there before we could go. And so when she arrived, it was like 4:40 a.m., so like probably 30, 40 minutes of intense contractions at home. And I remember just like, they were really intense at that point. Like, still, I feel like not as bad as my memory with Eliza, just because I think that was so long, but super intense. I felt like I was trying not to push. And then got in the car at 4:40. You called, and basically were like, are you guys leaving yet? I'm like, we're getting in the car now. Our car didn't start.
Oh my God. Yes. I actually think I like got in my car, but was waiting because you guys still hadn't left yet. And I'm like, oh my God, they need to go.
Yeah. It didn't start, but then it did start. Thankfully. And I think I might've been in transition, like either right before the car or in the car, because it was only a 15-minute ride. But I really was like, I feel like I need to push right now. Like, I feel like I'm pooping. I feel so much pressure. You at that point when you called, you were like, hey, it's not your fault at all, but just so you know, I need to eat that cone at 7, but we have Liz, who is an amazing doula on our group, will be there, and Mariana is also actually there at another birth, so we'll have a great team. And I was just kind of like, I don't care, I just want someone, I just need to get this baby out, it's okay, it's fine.
Well, and so kind of a background thing to it this time, so we had three of us. So instead of just having, and obviously Anna's a doula on our team, so she, you know, knows everybody. So Liz came with me just to kind of shadow a birth. And we already had that plan that she was going to come to Anna's. So I was there, Liz was there. And then like Anna said, Mariana was down the hall at a birth. So she stepped away because she was able to and came to Anna's birth. So it was really beautiful because all three of us were there. And then also on the way to the hospital, I knew the midwife that was doing some of her clinical hours with the midwife that was on call that morning. And so I was able to call her and say, hey, just so you have a heads up, because she was on call with the midwife that morning. Just so you have a heads up, my exact words were, we're coming in like really hot. Like I was like, one of our, you know, doulas who was, you know, had her first baby with me, had a really quick labor. She is on her way in. They're probably like 10 minutes out. She's feeling a lot of pressure. So I was able to also give them a heads up of like, hey, just so you guys know, you like need to be ready because she's coming in quickly.
Which was amazing. We were in triage for our first birth for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, which granted I wasn't as far along, but triage for a long time. This time, I think probably because of your call, skipped over triage. We got to the hospital.
I was like, put her right in a room, I promise you.
It was very needed. When we got to the hospital, like I really was like, Ryan, you need to get there now. In the back of my mind, I was like, we really might have this baby.
I'm still surprised that you did not have a baby on the side of the road.
I think it was mental.
You were holding her in for sure.
I really was. And when we got out of the car to the hospital, like I couldn't walk to the door. Like I really was like, these are back to back. I'm going to have this baby. I really thought I might have this baby on the sidewalk. Got a wheelchair, got it, you know, all the typical things we don't need to go through, all the questions of like, what's your name? What's your social? All these things that
so dumb.
At that point couldn't really talk. I was feeling like I was holding my baby. We went straight to our room again, thanks to Jen for that. And I remember like walking in and just saying like, I'm pooping. And I think it was pooping, which is normal. So
yes.
If your mom's out there, don't be too embarrassed by it. But Mariana's like, it's okay. It's fine. It's like, I'm pooping. Just, you know, so you know. And they just basically said, okay, let's check you. Let's see how far along you are. And at this point, I don't know who any of my nurses were. I don't know who the midwife was. I was definitely in La La Land.
Yes.
Labor Land. And I was 9.5 centimeters. And I mentally was like, okay, we are almost there. That's wild. We are really far along. But I still, my head was like, okay, I have 0.5 centimeter to go. I can't push yet. Meanwhile, Ryan, also Emma's on my chest. So if you hear little baby noises, that's her. Ryan was texting you, I think, what room we were in. So yeah. He just didn't even hear how far along I was.
I remember this. This is funny.
So he had no idea. Like I'm in my head, like 9.5. All right, we're super close. And he just, you know, he's preparing for another like 6-7 hours, intense labor, whatever. So we got in the room at 5 o'clock, I think. Had you, Liz, and Mariana all there, which was awesome. You might have to fill in what happened the next 40 minutes because I don't really. I do know that at some point I had taken off my clothes. They put on the continuous kind of monitor, just honestly, I think to get the strip, like it wasn't even, I mean, not strip, but you know, to make sure baby's going okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we need to monitor you constantly, but I didn't care at that point. I was hoping to do intermittent monitoring, but I didn't really care. And then with our first labor, I did all sorts of positions, right? Like we were all over the place. This time I just got on the bed and I was on hands and knees and I was on hands and knees the whole time.
Absolutely.
I think the only variation was instead of holding myself up with my hands, we eventually put the back of the bed up. And I was on my hands and knees on the back of the bed with a comb in my hand. So yeah. I don't know the next, like, if there are any details from you to share at that point, but.
That's exactly what you did. You were hands and knees on the bed. And we just all like rotated around hip squeezes, like for, you know, every once in a while. Your contractions were so close. So I think, honestly, I think when you heard 9.5, I think you would have had this baby like much, much sooner, but you heard 9.5 and you were like, I can't push yet. When in reality, you were fighting that urge to push and you never voiced that you were even really having the urge to push. So I don't think we knew. And then finally, at one point you were like, I can't stop anymore. Like I need to push. And we were like, oh, we've been waiting for you to feel the urge to push, to start pushing, because that 9.5, like that was just probably because your water was still intact. You know, that half a centimeter would have just slipped away right away the minute you actually let your body bear into it. But we didn't know you were having the urge to push.
Yeah.
So you finally said that, I think at one point, like maybe like 20, 30 minutes after we were in the room, and we were like, oh, great. Like that's what we've been waiting for. Like go ahead and push. And you, I think had said like, well, but like, what if I'm not complete? Or I think you had said like, well, I'm 9.5 or something. And we were like, oh no, like you're like, push.
I needed someone to tell me that because I'm so used to like, you got to get to 10 and I'm a numbers person. And yeah, I think I, looking back, totally agree. I would have had her even sooner, but I was fighting the pushing. I was trying to relax and not push. And, you know, had you guys doing the hip squeezes and all of that, and my water hadn't broken yet is the other thing. And so I remember saying like, I'm only 9.5 and I needed you. I like, you said, you're fine, go ahead and push. And it was then when you said that, that I was like, oh, I'm going to push now. Like I need to, I'm going to do it. And,
that's when Ryan was like, wait, we're doing what?
Yes.
She's what? And we were like, she's 9.5. And then I was like, wait, how did he not know she was 9.5? That's where it all clicked, where I was like, oh, he definitely missed that.
Totally was in the dark. So he's just like, a side note for him, he's like more of a stoic, I don't know, stoic, but he's also not super emotive, like very serious a lot of times for other people. He's really goofy at home. But he was just like giddy the whole time. Just like laughing.
He was so giddy.
Just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And he's like not intimidated by birth. So he just was kind of like, this is amazing. So yeah, I started pushing probably at like 5:40, maybe something like that. So 30, 40 minutes of like, you know, walking in, checking in and all that kind of vital stuff, holding back from pushing. And I had never like really felt the pop of my water breaking with Eliza because it was just a little trickle. And so at this point with these pushes, like I felt the bag of waters like bulging out. I knew I was bulging out. I felt basically my, I guess just my vagina like opening up with the bag of waters. And then after like probably 2 or 3 rounds of contractions of pushing, actually pushing, it popped. It felt like a baseball coming out. Like it was so wild.
It's wild.
And then all the warm liquid is all over me. I'm just like hanging out in all of the juice, which I was fine with at that point. And so it was probably only like 15 minutes of pushing, after, you know, my water broke. I don't know how many rounds that would have been, but, you know, kind of back to back double headed contractions. And, I knew only a couple things as a doula that were helped. Like, I remember sort of like, I'm in labor, but also I know that I should have my knees rotated inwards to open up the out, like little things that I'm like, that probably didn't even matter in the moment, but I'm like,
nope,
I
definitely
need to make
didn't.
Sure I don't tear, you know? So yeah, she, I delivered on my hands and my knees, which was different than last time. I delivered on my back, and I had been on my back for a while just because I was so tired. And the only reason I say that, and because it's different, is I felt a lot more pressure on my pubic bone than I did with Eliza. Mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't breaking, but I was like, this feels kind of like my pelvis is breaking a little bit, to get this baby out. and knew that like the only way to get out of the pain was through it. So just pushed it on out. And we didn't know the gender again. And she came out, and well, her head got out and she started crying before I had gotten enough to her body out. So she was kind of, and she came out, you know, in the right position, everything. Her head was facing up, I was facing down. And I heard a little cry, which was just the strangest thing to have, you know, a baby crying halfway in, halfway out. The student midwife that Jen mentioned earlier is actually the one that caught our baby with an attending midwife around. And we may or may not have gotten a video of the birth. I won't say who maybe broke those hospital rules, but it's just amazing to watch.
So cool.
She came out happy, crying, and eyes wide open.
It's your body, okay? If we want to videotape your body birthing your baby,
yeah,
we're going to do it. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I was scammed by that till the end of my life.
I'm so glad we got it. Like, I'll treasure that forever. It was, and like seeing Ryan's reaction, y'all's reaction, it was just amazing. So, yeah, she was born, and our Eliza was 6 pounds exactly at birth. Emma, Sue, revealing that she's a girl, was 7 pounds, I think 5 ounces maybe.
Yeah.
So definitely bigger. Ryan was going to announce the gender. And I'm again, thankful for a doula team because you guys kind of stopped the nurse from saying the gender, which isn't a big deal, you know, but it's just like sweet.
She was about to say it. I was like, no, dad is announcing the gender.
Yeah. Which was great. But unfortunately Ryan doesn't see a lot of, or fortunately, I don't know. He doesn't see a lot of baby genitals. So it took him a little bit to identify, like, is this a girl or a boy?
It's plus harder in the beginning.
Cord was right in the way. Yes, it is hard. So just another PSA for anyone waiting to find out gender. Like, if you have a doula, they will tell you this, but if you don't, you know, everything's kind of swollen down there. So just look for a penis if you're having a boy, because otherwise it's kind of hard to tell. So yeah, anyways, I know we have a little bit more to cover, but, yeah, it was very fast. So kind of just to give a recap of that, I probably started, I'd say like in active labor at like 3-ish, maybe being generous, 3:30 more likely. And Emma was born at 5:57 AM. And I think it could have been earlier because of me preventing pushing. So super quick. Also would say, even though I am a doula, even though I've done labor before myself, and even though it was fast, I still would say the support of my doula team. I know I'm biased, but our doula team was invaluable just for those things, right? Of like knowing that I was going to go fast, knowing that we wanted to wait for my husband to announce the gender, just having the music and the comb and just like the positive energy and encouragement, and still highly recommend it. So we'll plug there.
And then how was your recovery with Emma versus
Eliza? It was I feel like head over heels better, even though my recovery with Eliza was not bad. So I didn't tear at all, which felt just like another answer to prayer. I had a first degree with Eliza, which wasn't bad, but it's still painful. I mean, every time you pee it burns, and like I remember sitting up after giving birth to Eliza and I just felt swollen and everything was sore. Whereas with Emma, I literally was like, I could go for a run right now. I feel so good. I was on such a birth high. I was standing up. I was moving around. I literally was not sore at all, which was crazy. But I think it was just so fast. I didn't tear. You know, I didn't have time to get swollen or anything. So I felt great for the first few days afterwards. Kind of fast forwarding through the immediate stuff. We discharged from the hospital within a day. We were kind of fighting for that just to get home to see Eliza and have time as a family. And recovery, you know, I think physically was great. I mean, I felt like, I can't believe I just had a baby. Adjusting to, this is like your question about postpartum, adjusting to just life with two has been a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think you've encouraged me and others have, it just takes a few months to get the routine again.
Six
and I
months.
Remember it took a while to get the routine with Eliza and I forgot that, and she became easier, but you know, it takes a while to get the routine of two. I think she's Emma's 14 weeks today. So I'm right outside of that, like fourth trimester or whatever, but we're still figuring it out.
It really takes 6 months to adjust to adding a whole new life into your family. it takes 6 months. So you just, you know, anytime you're like, I can't do this, this is overwhelming, and it's before 6 months, I want you to take a deep breath, let it go, and wait a couple, you know, wait a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I still need to hear that. And I'm, you know, I'm only, so they're 2 years and 2 weeks apart in their spacing. And Eliza's done great adjusting, but I do feel older. Like, I feel like body wise, it's only 2 year difference, but I think having had 2 years of parenting under my belt, and just the demands of that, and just aging, I don't know. But, even though my initial recovery was much better, I did have like, I feel like I'm still just kind of getting back into the shape that I felt like it, not, I don't know, it's not shape that I'm looking for, but like running's taken longer to getting back to, just because I'm tired.
Well, it's just because it's just some, having two, like,
it's a
having
lot.
One is just so, it is like, even the days where like one of my kids goes to daycare or Ashton takes one of them and goes and does something, and I only have one of them for a few hours, I'm like, oh my, this is a cakewalk. Like one kid is a cakewalk. And then, you know, two is just, you're outnumbered at two, you know, especially when like you're the primary caregiver while Ryan's working and stuff. It's like, you're trying to divide yourself between the two of them. And it's just, it's exhausting in a beautiful way. Like, you're giving everything and it's going to get better and it's going to get easier. And one day they're going to be independent and self-sufficient and not need you. And you're going to miss these years.
Yeah, I know.
But right now,
I keep telling myself that.
Yeah, you do. But right now, like, it's hard because they need everything from you. They can't get dressed. They can't go to the bathroom. They can't eat. They literally can do no human functions outside of you. And that's beautiful, but it's also hard.
It's a lot, but for any moms that are first time moms, you're like, this isn't a cakewalk. It isn't.
No,
like,
one isn't
it wasn't
either,
for me either, but just looking back, like, I think you just grow in your capacity to love and you grow in your capacity to multitask and handle more, and God gives you what you can handle. But I remember thinking with one that it was like super hard, but I think each child, it's just harder, harder. But two like quick notes on healing. One, so breastfeeding, we exclusively pump with Eliza for various reasons. She didn't have a great latch. She was also in the NICU, so got bottles day one. So I exclusively pumped for a year, which power to all mamas that do that, because it was so wild and a lot. But Emma, we're still kind of figuring it out. I won't spend a long time talking about that. But she latched from the beginning, enjoys breastfeeding, but still I think doesn't transfer quite enough. So we're sort of doing a combo feed, and some weeks it's like just breastfeeding, and I think my supply is lower right now. Some weeks it's been bottle, some day it just takes way longer for us breastfeeding, and with two kids sometimes I just do the bottle and pump because that's faster. So still figuring that out a little bit, but thankful to have any supply. This month is a gift. And then I stopped bleeding. This is kind of point two of the postpartum recovery. Stopped bleeding around 5 weeks this time, or bleeding slash any kind of lochia or discharge. And then about a week later, it restarted, and it was like bright red blood again. So I hadn't had bright red blood in a few weeks. And so I was kind of like, oh, this is notable. And that continued for about 10 days. It was really light, but still happening. And then it stopped again. And then it started again. And so I just kind of felt not quite right. And so went into the doctor, they did an ultrasound, and they saw that there was still some leftover like tissue and blood. Didn't quite know exactly what it was. They said it could be some membrane part, but nothing, like it wasn't placenta, which I was pretty sure it wasn't, because I wasn't having heavy bleeding or pain or anything. It was just light. And so they said, hey, let's, you know, we got to get that out of there. So here's some Cytotec to kind of help you contract to get that out. So Cytotec is often given, you know, in labor to help women progress along and induce some contractions and do some cervical change. But also was used in my case to do the same kind of thing, but to get out tissue. And so I took that, lay my bed for that night, I vaginally inserted them. And I was just mentally preparing, okay, I'm going to have some contractions. This might be, you know, fun, but I'll get out. Literally nothing happened whatsoever. And messaged the doctor, you know, the next day or 2 days later, and just said, hey, nothing happened. Went back in, they did another ultrasound, just bedside, and it was gone. So they still don't know what happened. The doctor and they, at that point, the midwife kind of handed it off to the OB and just said, I feel more comfortable if the OB can handle this. And the OB was like, prior to the ultrasound said, basically we'll probably have to go and get a DNC, which is unfortunate, but we just want to make sure you get, all the things out of there. And the ultrasound saw nothing. And she's like, your uterus looks perfect. I don't know where it went. I can't explain. I would have assumed it would have come out with blood. So I don't know how to explain it, but it's gone. So I'm just going to chalk that up to the Lord answering prayer because I don't know what else happened to it. And I haven't bled since, which is great.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I think in terms of postpartum, it's been an adjustment, like any baby is an adjustment, but Emma is so happy and she's so smiley and relatively easy. I cut out dairy in my third trimester preparing for this baby because we had to cut it out with Eliza. So Emma does not have any reflux. Eliza had reflux. We had a medication. And taking some of those things out of the picture of not having to hold Emma up like we do with Eliza for 30 minutes after each feeding and her not being fussy and, dairy, cow milk, protein intolerance, that kind of stuff has been great.
We could do a whole podcast on that because have that exact same story. Madeline was so hard because of the reflux. And so I proactively cut it out before Braxton was born in that third trimester. And it made my postpartum journey. Oh my God. I kind of just wish every pregnant woman would maybe just cut out dairy if it wasn't that big of a deal to them, because I promise if you get a cow's milk protein intolerance baby, which is super common just because that cow's milk protein is such a complex, big protein that they struggle to digest it and break it down. It's really common for babies to have. And oh my gosh, does it make your postpartum period a night and day difference to not have to deal with that?
Don't quote me on this, but I think there are some countries where it is just a normal part of the culture that when you have a baby, you just
stop
don't
eating
have dairy. I'll look that
Sign
up
me
and send
up.
It to you. But yeah, it's been great. And I'll wrap up here, but I think just as you mentioned it, babies don't sleep and time goes quick. So as much as it's hard, to be kind of whiplash of we're doing great. Actually, this is really hard. We're doing great. It's hard. Seeing our two girls together has been such a delight. And we're only 14 weeks into that, but Eliza has been so sweet with her little sister and Emma lights up looking and smiling at Eliza and really excited and thankful for having multiple children in the way that hopefully they'll be, prayers that they'll be best friends and playmates and a joy and delight with each other. So
yeah, it just gets better too. Now Braxton's crawling and moving and he's 9 months and Adeline's 2.5 and they are starting to really play together. And it is the sweetest, cutest thing ever. So that is in your future. And it just is such a full circle, beautiful moment that I cannot wait for you to experience.
We are excited about it. It's been a joy and it's a lot, but it's a gift.
Yes. So. It is. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for coming on the podcast and for sharing your second birth story. I love to relive it. It was beautiful, fast, but still beautiful and so fun. And, thank you for, of course, always allowing me to be a part of it.
Yes, it was our pleasure. I wouldn't have done it without y'all.
Yeah, you could have done it without me, but I'm glad that you chose to have me. All three of us.
Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for having the podcast for mamas to share their stories. It's a gift for me too to process. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you for listening to another episode of What the Bump. Make sure to follow us over on Instagram at WhatTheBumpCLT. Check out our website, WhatTheBumpCLT.com. Make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or whatever platform you are listening on. And tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. for a new episode. Remember that this podcast is for educational purposes only. I will see you next week in the next episode.